Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're in a series that I have titled The God Spiel. For it is the God Spiel, the gospel that the disciples of God were commissioned to preach, to declare, to make known the gospel, the God spiel, the word of God throughout the whole world. Now, what was the purpose of this? Was the purpose of the gospel for us to have a better life in this world? Not according to the word of God. It came that we might have eternal life. That overused phrase, but little attention paid to, probably the most famous verse of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where's the focus? Everlasting life. Eternal life. Life eternal. And this word, believeth, whosoever believeth, the word is a pisteo word. And the fullness of that word pisteo in the Greek, we're not talking religious, we're talking the meaning of the word in the Greek language as it was originally delivered by the writers of the New Testament. It was an action based upon a belief, sustained by confidence. It's not a one-time run to the altar, be saved, once saved, always saved, be saved forever. No, it's a continuing act based on the promise of God or promises of God. We faith when we drive through a green light with the expectation those facing the red will stop. But that's not the faith God is talking about. The faith God is talking about is acting on his promises as though they're more real than anything that man might see, feel, or encounter. Last week, we pointed out 11 times in that fourth chapter that Paul uses the root word log, which means to speak or leg, to say, to choose by speaking. And wherein it says was wherein it says accounted or reckoned or imputed, we pointed out this is what God said. You know, God, We have, for almost 15 years, been teaching from the Bible, from God's Word, in order to show off God and His faithfulness. I had a pastor for almost 30 years who a fundamental verse that he would constantly remind us of is that 19th verse of the 23rd chapter of Numbers. It's spoken by a heathen prophet named Balaam. That's a great story. Someday we'll get into teaching on Balaam because it's a wonderful story. Very misunderstood by those who teach. But that verse says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Hath he said, amar is the Hebrew word, means to speak, to use words? Or has he spoken? Dabar is the Hebrew word. And again, it's words, it's utterances. And we're talking about what God uttered, what God spoke. Witnesses, you know, where God says something more than once, we need to pay attention. In 1 Samuel 15:29, it says, and also the strength of Israel. Who is that? What is that? That is, God will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. He's not changing his mind. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. In this wonderful epistle of Romans, in the 29th verse of the 11th chapter, it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And it says in the second verse of the Epistle of Titus, but I'm going to read the first. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle, that is, a sent one of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth. And Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, thy word is truth, and the acknowledging of truth, which is after godliness, that is an awareness of God. Here's the verse. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We're talking eternal life here, folks, not how big of a house you have, not how great of a job you have, not how smart you are, not how rich you are, not how strong you are. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about the life of God. We're talking about the righteousness which is by faith, that no man should boast. Why do I say that? Well, let's look. In the fifth chapter, and we got into a bit of the fifth chapter. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, that is, sinners, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. You know something, you cannot be a Christian unless you know you're a sinner. And in God's word, a sinner being saved by grace, unmerited favor. But let's continue. For if when we were enemies, sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. For Jesus Christ lives. The resurrection, that is the foundation of our Christian faith. That which was dead was raised from the dead in newness of life. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that is, give life to our mortal bodies. Paul goes on and talks about the sin of Adam, and the result of that sin is all of us are born in sin. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, unmerited favor, by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment, was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto righteousification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Verse
This righteousness is a gift of God. And as righteousness is a gift, so faith is a gift. By grace, Ephesians 2 says, are ye saved? And that through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, lest any should boast. Paul says in the Philippian letter, he testifies about his righteousness under the law, his performance. He said, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul's not using hyperbole here, folks. He's telling it the way it is, the way it was with him. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered. Listen to this. Suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. I hope you all know what dung is. I'm not going to insult you by explaining. I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Where has this gospel been for 2,000 years? The history of the church teaches that now you know you're a sinner, you better start cleaning yourself up that you might be acceptable to God. Or better yet, that testimony of, I can't tell you how many people who have come through the museum would attempt to give me this testimony. I haven't sinned since I was sanctified. My best response, that's dung. That's dung. By grace are you saved. Through faith, which is a gift of God, that no man should boast. The righteous by faith shall live. I love the Word of God. Going back to this fourth chapter of Romans, it says, even as David in the sixth verse describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God says righteousness. And I'm transliterating. Without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In looking over this story of Balaam, the heathen prophet, if we read a little further, it says, I'll repeat it. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, change his mind. Hath he said, Amar, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 20th verse says, Behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Balaam is telling Balak, He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. So this is interesting. You know, God tells us of the perverseness of Israel when they were in the wilderness. You can read it throughout Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You can read about it in the Epistle to the Hebrews. And yet, God here through the heathen prophet says, He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, all you Jacobs who are hearing the word of God, grab hold of this. For it is a promise of God, words of God, spoken by God. And that which was promised before the world began, that is, that our hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie has said. I hope some of you are getting this. David, in a time of circumstance wherein he seemed bereft of the promises of God. Circumstance seemed to suggest he was rejected of God. He is fleeing from that son of his, Absalom. And he says, he had to leave his throne. He had to leave Jerusalem. In leaving, he's cursed by ungodly creatures. But in this, he writes this, Psalm 31, it says, In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. And to remind you, this word righteousness is or has always to do with keeping covenant, which has to do with keeping promises. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He says, literally, the gospel will not shame me. And David, a man after God's own heart, says, let me never be ashamed in your righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and fortress. Therefore, thy namesake, therefore, for thy namesake, lead me and guide me. What a great prayer this is. There is faith, there is hope, there is love. Where it says, my strong rock, the Hebrew is Tsur. It's a fortress. Where it says, thou art my rock, the word, it's a different word for rock. It describes a cleft rock. That old hymn of the church, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Oh, praise God, I thank you, Father, for your word. Yeah, any of you ever find yourself in this circumstance? Pull me out of the net that they've laid privately for me. For you are my strength, into thine hand. Oh, we do well if we learn to pray this way as David did. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Amen, no doubt. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. When you have time, go to Psalm 31. He's asking God, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Mine eyes consumed with grief, and my soul and my belly. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face shine upon thy servant and save me for thy mercy's sake. Oh, the 23rd verse says, now let's go to the 20th verse. Thou shalt hide me in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness. David ends, and I end today, where he says, be of good courage, and God shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. And we'll continue this God spiel, this word of God, next time, God willing. But for now, that is the God school.